Hello.
Welcome back to another episode of Diagnosing a Killer. I'm Coel.
And I'm Kenna. It's going okay. I had a bit of a rough time today.
Yeah.
Just all of a sudden not feeling well.
Mm-hmm.
I ate some weird Thai food the other day.
Oh, no.
And I remember, like, as I was eating it, it's one of those things you're like, this tastes kind of funky, but it's not, like, so funky that you're like, it's gonna be bad, you know?
I can't do that. If I feel like it's passable, I'm like, that's not good enough.
No, I agree. And I used to kind of just look past it, but this time I was like, no, and I took like 3 or 4 like big bites and I was like, I'm throwing it away, but yeah. Those 3 or 4 bites still made my stomach hurt.
Yeah.
But it wasn't to the point of like throwing up, so yeah. I think it just affected me today because it's like a couple days later.
It's really unfortunate because I love that Thai place.
Yeah, no,
I love
really
that Thai
good.
Place. They have some of the best crab rangoons, although I don't do dairy, but not anymore. But yeah, their crab rangoons are so good.
Yeah.
They're lightly like fried, very lightly.
I can't stand the ones that are, like, really thick, you know, like, hard to eat.
There used to be a place down, well, not that the listeners know where Blanco is, but down on Blanco, and they're, I forgot what they were called, but they had some of the best crab rangoons, but they were sweet. They had, like, honey in them. Oh, my gosh, it was so good. But they had really thick, like, wonton wrappers, too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. They were just really good. They were the exception to the rule. It was almost like a pastry instead of just like a dumpling.
Yeah, I've been getting into Thai food more recently. Mm. I used to not really, not that I didn't ever like not like it, but I never not liked it. I don't know how to say that, but I just didn't really eat it enough, I guess.
Yeah. But it's my favorite food of all time. Thai food is my favorite food. I've always wanted to go to Thailand. Elephants are my favorite animals.
Love it.
Yeah. And I have different Thai restaurants in San Antonio that I go to for different things. Like, one place I'll get red curry, then another place I'll get green curry, then the next place I'll get, you know, tom yum, and then, you know, they all have differing flavors.
I haven't eaten dinner yet. We gotta stop talking about food.
Mm.
Anyway, yeah, so that was my day, but hopefully it'll pass by tomorrow and everything will be good.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Oh, you know, had a little rough in my feels kind of a few days, but I'm coming out of it. You know, and I always get that feeling, not feeling, but I have to remind myself, like, this is temporary. Like, I'm not going to feel this way all the time.
Yeah.
So I was telling Kenna yesterday that, you know, she was doing all this stuff for the merch, for the live coming up tomorrow and or on Friday. And yeah, I was just like, I feel like I've accomplished nothing. Like, my biggest accomplishments yesterday were watching my son perform in a performance. And then the second best thing that I did yesterday was eat an Impossible Whopper.
There you go.
Those were my accomplishments yesterday.
You fed yourself. You got out of bed. Those are accomplishments
right?
in my book. That all being said, I'm glad that you're feeling a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
Just on that same note, we made some really cute koozies for the merch. It's going to be a new koozie drop. I made them. I made, like, I think 15 of them.
They're
so cute. We've been talking about doing some mental breakdown merch,
mm-hmm.
and I'm really excited to show you guys that tomorrow, as well as, like Coel said, a bunch of other merch items.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure to check us out on Whatnot on Friday the 8th at 6 p.m. Central Time. I think we're going to hang out for maybe like 2 hours, maybe a little bit longer. And yeah, we're just going to chat about merch. Give us your suggestions. If you want to ask us questions about the podcast, feel free. And if you haven't already, click that link. It's in our link tree. You get $15 off just by using that link. It's, like, basically a free shirt.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's all I got, I think.
Yeah, we'll have, so far right now, if you go to our Whatnot profile and you go to the Buy It Now section, you'll see all of our new merch items on there. And I mean new by as in never used. That's not going to be our upcycle stuff. That is going to be brand new stuff. We also have the koozies on there and the Buy It Now that you can purchase now ahead of time. We have limited supply on a few of those items, so if you want to grab them now. Otherwise, I think we're going to just be doing upcycle stuff for auction. So essentially the way that it works is it's kind of like a live eBay where you go, you're essentially watching a live stream and then you input all your information, you know, your card information, your shipping information, and you casually shop. It's kind of like an, what is it? Like a HGTV? Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Home and Garden. Well, you know, one of those like shopping.
Oh, like catalog.
Yeah. Shows. So it's kind of like that. So we will just be essentially showing you the merchandise. And if you're interested in something, we just automatically input it into the auction tab thing. We'll run the auction. It usually lasts anywhere from like 10 seconds to 30 seconds. And you guys can just bid on it. If you guys want to throw a little extra, you can on there. I think there's also like a tip option. If you don't feel like merch, like any merch items, you can just tip us for our humor.
Humor and hard work.
Well, we're also going to be doing dollar bracelet starts. And the way that that works is that every bracelet is a dollar. We'll just run it. You just swipe your little thingy to say, yeah, I accept this auction. And then you guys can outbid each other if you want. It's a lot of fun. And it's all like with talking and connecting and things like that. It's so much fun. I'm so excited.
I'm really excited. This will be my first time hosting one of those, but I've seen you host multiple for a different platform many a time. So.
Yeah,
that's going to be awesome. We hope to see you guys there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm excited to see who you're doing today. I've been trying to guess it, and I've been guessing wrong.
Sure. Do you want to give everybody our handles?
Sure. You can follow us anywhere at Diagnosing a Killer. You can follow us on Twitter, or now X, at Killer Diagnosis. We do have a website, diagnosingakiller.com. There you will find links to resources, some of our merch items as well, and as well as information for the True Crime and Paranormal Podcast Festival that is happening in July in Denver, the 12th through the 14th. It is my birthday weekend. Come see us.
Yes.
And you get 15% off those tickets, like I said, for using our code DAK. I just slammed my elbow into the wall.
I heard that. I was like, what was that?
And if you'd like access to some extra content, go to patreon.com/diagnosingakiller. Our tier 2 and 3 Patreons get an extra bonus episode every month, and they actually got 2 for the month of February.
Mm-hmm.
Ad-free, content warning free, big ol' episodes.
Yeah.
That's it.
Ready?
Yes.
Today we're going to be talking about Michelle Carter.
Oh, shit!
No. You didn't do this one, did you?
No, I didn't do this one, but okay, I'm thinking I might be...
It's
okay, I know who you're talking about. Conrad? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, that's. Oh, I was thinking Michelle Conrad. I was like, that's not the right person.
That's
yes,
not
it is.
The person.
Oh my gosh, what a case. It's horrible.
Content warning. This episode discusses the topics of self-harm, eating disorders, severe depression and anxiety, and ultimately suicide. If this episode is not for you, we encourage you to find another one of our episodes. Remember that your mental health comes first, and we love you.
Love you.
Bye. Bye.
Oh my gosh, I'm not ready. This case breaks my heart.
It's really sad.
It's awful.
Michelle Diana Carter was born August 11th, 1996, in Plainville, Massachusetts, to her parents Gail and David Carter. David was a sales manager for a forklift company, and Gail would come to work with real estate agents, staging properties for show for open houses. Michelle had one younger sister named Hayden. However, an exact age is unknown, since she was little.
I love Hayden for a girl. I think
that's
cute.
Oh my gosh, me and Cliff started watching that American Horror Story, the first season. Hayden's the... What's his face's girlfriend? Dylan McDermott's girlfriend.
Oh,
when he gets pregnant?
Oh my god. I haven't seen that. Season one?
Season one,
The Murder House. Oh my god, that
Remember
was like
they,
what
like,
made me fall in love with Evan Peters.
Oh my god, it made me fall in love with Dylan McDermott again. So it was, the family moved into the haunted house.
Yeah, I remember the whole thing. Yeah.
And the reason they moved is because he was having an affair with his, like,
the dad.
client, or something. And then she shows up on the doorstep and it turns out she's pregnant. It's like,
yikes.
Oh, fuck.
And when they leave and she, like, can't leave the house because, like, the daughter can't leave the house anymore. And they're like, come with us. And they put her in the car and they drive away and she's in the window. Sorry.
Spoiler alert.
That came out like 15 years ago.
It revamped my love because Kim Kardashian's in this last season.
Yeah.
And they did like a half season break. So now it's been like months and the second part of the season hasn't come out yet.
Oh my god.
And it's actually really good. I love when they cast like major celebrities.
Oh yeah, Lady Gaga was in one.
Yeah. That was Hotel. I just said that and I was like, I didn't care for Hotel.
We're getting off on too many tangents.
Sorry. Michelle and Hayden seem to have a typical home life. Their parents worked hard and the girls would want for nothing. Michelle seemed to be a pretty well-adjusted young woman, being described by her parents as quiet, kind, and sympathetic. That is until about middle school and high school age. Michelle and her mother would often get into disagreements and rarely saw eye to eye on things, especially when it came to Michelle's social interactions with others.
I feel like that's kind of typical, like, teenage girl behavior, though.
I think so, too. Yeah, that was me.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't me, but I saw you guys do it, and I didn't want to do it, because I was like, that's not going to end well for me if I try that shit.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think that there's, you know, I was just having this conversation with Cliff the other day. I was like, my child will resent me one day. Yeah. Like, that is the circle of life, you know?
It's terrible.
It is. Michelle, on the surface, seemed to get along with her peers. However, her peers found Michelle to be odd and would say that Michelle did not usually find deeper, more meaningful connections with other students outside of school.
So it's just kind of like surface level.
Yeah, that her friendships were often superficial and they never spent time with her outside of school, like going to movies or anything like that.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Often other girls would make up excuses for not hanging out with Michelle. They're like, oh, did I tell you that day? Oh, it got canceled. Or, oh, yeah, no, you can't come to that party. My mom's really weird about certain people.
Yeah, or it's like, hey, mom, can I go spend the night at so-and-so's? And you're looking at your mom like, say no, say no, say
no. Yeah, exactly. Oh, who hasn't done that?
I've done that for sure. Or, like, text someone, I'm like, call me and feign an emergency so I can come home. Oh, I did that one. I told Cameron to call me one time and pretend like she needed me home. And Cameron, drama queen, took it to this whole level. She's like, Kenna, get the fuck home right now. You're in so much trouble. Mom is pissed. Like, all this
she stuff. Used it as an acting opportunity.
Exactly. I had her on speaker. I was like, damn, she really pissed.
Shit, she pissed. However, there was one friendship that seemed to deepen. Michelle was looking for a way to connect with others and become more widely accepted, so she joined the softball team in high school. Not, I don't think it was in high school. I think it was during her high school years, but it was a softball team.
Not at the school.
Not at the school.
Oh, okay.
Here she met a girl known only as Alice. Alice and Michelle became fast friends. The two would often spend time together outside of school, like going to the movies, going shopping, and staying the night at each other's houses. But after some time during the friendship, Alice would begin to become uncomfortable around Michelle. Alice would come to believe that Michelle had had a crush on her, to which Alice did not reciprocate. Alice would notice that the friendship resembled more of that of a relationship. Michelle would ask Alice to sneak around with her at night. She would sometimes get jealous of other friends and in general become clingy and even sometimes texting obsessively. Mm. Like, where are you at? What are you doing? Where are you?
I've had girlfriends that are like that. Or, like, not recently, but, like, in high school, you know, I've had some girls that treated me like that. And it was kind of like, okay, like, we're just homies, you know? Yeah. Like, don't get the wrong idea. And then, honestly, it did drive me away. Like, I didn't really want to hang out with them anymore because it made me uncomfortable.
Yeah, you know? Feel pressured into the friendship more than, like, just wanting to be that person's friend.
Exactly.
Yeah. Michelle would write to another peer about this relationship, quote, I thought it was a phase at first, like, thought we were really good friends, but we started talking like a relationship would, flirting and stuff, end quote. So this is Michelle telling another girl.
Okay.
Like, she's my girlfriend, essentially. So yes, Michelle may have been inflating her relationship with Alice to others, like calling her her girlfriend and stuff. Mm-hmm. Realizing that Michelle felt this way, Alice decided to confide in her mother that she felt uncomfortable and was encouraged by her mother to end the friendship with Michelle, which she did.
Good.
Michelle became noticeably depressed after this. She began to self-harm, and she had difficulties with eating. Michelle often felt outcasted, and in an effort to become more popular, she would often refuse to eat or skip meals in order to lose weight.
Oh, God.
Michelle's parents noticed a difference in their daughter's behavior and would seek professional help for her. Michelle would be prescribed citalopram, also known as Celexa. In 2012, Michelle's family decided to spend some time in Florida for a family gathering, Michelle being 16 at the time. One night, while walking along the beach, she would come across a young man by the name of Conrad Roy.
Conrad is such a cool first name.
I know. That's my ex-husband's middle name.
Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh, really quick, sorry, speaking of him, did you see the post that he made about your son earlier? Oh, you don't have Facebook. Oh gosh. He posted that, this was like earlier today, he posted that when he got his phone back or whatever, your son had made him a playlist, like, oh, dad's playlist or whatever, like dad's new songs or whatever.
I did hear that.
And his dad was like, oh, that's so sweet. He's like, I almost got choked up or whatever. And he clicked on it. He said it was 24 hours of Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up. Like, that kid is a genius.
He tried to troll him, and he's only Rickrolled eight. His
ass. Yeah, he's only eight.
Like, that's he knows crazy. How to Rickroll people. He was doing that in the car. He was singing some theme song, like, oh, O'Reilly's, or whatever. And he kept doing it. And I was like, please. He's like, would you rather me sing Never Gonna Give You Up?
Oh, my gosh.
And then he's like, oh, I got you.
He's so funny.
Conrad Roy III was born September 12th, 1995, in, I think it's Mattapoisett, Massachusetts, to his parents, Conrad Jr. and Len Roy. So Conrad, the young man that we're going to be talking about, is a third, but his dad is also a Conrad. So Conrad's father, grandfather, and uncle all worked for the same family business, which was Tucker Roy Marine Towing and Salvage Incorporated.
That's got to be confusing. All of them are named Conrad, except all, for the brother.
They're all Roys. Their last names are all Roy, too. Their job was to salvage and tow sunken or broken down vessels, specializing in trickier or more dangerous jobs, which I found really interesting.
That is interesting. It's like one of those odd jobs, you know, that you don't know, really hear about.
And especially to, like, build a business from the ground up. That's kind of, like, a unique thing to want to do.
Yeah.
Conrad was not the kind of kid to struggle making friends. He had an infectious laugh and was described as a sweet and charming young man. He was also described by his own mother as being a beautiful and happy child. Mm. Conrad was constantly on the honor roll. He participated in various school sports, including baseball and track. Conrad was also incredibly talented and bright. And in telling you this, his problems were not outside of the home, but instead inside of the home. Mm. Conrad's father would sometimes become enraged, taking his anger out on his family. On occasion, these outbursts would also become physical.
Oh, man.
Especially to Conrad, as he was the eldest of three and the only boy in the house. He had two younger sisters.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, but that's usually how we see it happen.
Yeah.
If you want great tasting meals daily, but can't find the time to shop or even cook, we have the solution for you. Fresh Meal Plan is a convenient, easy way to create custom meals delivered right to your door. With hundreds of rotating meals each week, there's always something new to look forward to. Many of their meals are ready in 3 minutes or less, so you don't have to spend all night cooking. Just select your meals, heat, eat, and bon appetit. Click the link in our show notes today for an exclusive offer with Fresh Meal Plan and create the perfect menu for you.
In 2011, police were called to the Roy home after a domestic violence incident. Lynn Roy would be arrested on domestic violence charges, but would ultimately not be convicted.
The mom?
Mm-hmm. She was found to have left bruises on his father. Conrad began to withdraw more and more as time went on. As Conrad's depression worsened, his parents would have him attend behavioral therapies, group therapies, and ultimately he would be diagnosed with social anxiety disorder and clinical depression.
I mean, yeah, being exposed indirectly to abuse like that is really detrimental for your, you know, mental health growing up.
Yeah, it makes sense with the social anxiety, just because, like, how do you speak? How do you communicate your feelings when you know what's going on, you know?
Or you're afraid, like, everyone else outside of that is just gonna, you know, snap, you know, any second.
Right, exactly. Conrad would ultimately be described citalopram, also known as Celexa. So they were both prescribed the same thing.
Okay.
However, no amount of medication would help resolve the discourse still going on in the Roy household. Needing a vacation, the family traveled down to Florida in 2012 to visit with other family members, and it was here that 17-year-old Conrad would meet 16-year-old Michelle Carter. After learning that they didn't live that far from each other, I think they were only, like, an hour away from one another.
Mm-hmm.
The two would spend the vacation essentially inseparable, going on bike rides and getting ice cream together. They would exchange information after this trip, and once home, began texting regularly. The two would bond over their shared experiences with depression and keep each other company in ways that the people around them in their everyday lives couldn't. Michelle began to become very attached to Conrad, even at points telling her classmates that this was her boyfriend.
Okay.
Even though it was an official.
Yeah. Seen this before.
Yeah. The girls, especially, seemed interested that Michelle had had this secret long-distance relationship with an older, mysterious boy.
Sounds like Martha Beck.
Yeah, right?
Oh, he died. He died.
Don't worry. Yeah, he died. Oh my god, I just remembered that that guy threw himself off of that bridge after she said she was pregnant, remember?
That's terrible.
That's awful. He threw himself into a bay.
Yeah.
Sorry. That was Lonely Hearts.
Lonely Hearts Killers, Raymond Fernandez, and Martha Beck. I just re-listened to it recently, that's why it's fresh on the noggin.
Yeah, right. Fresh on the noggin. So yes, as the girls had only seen her as a weirdo and an outcast before, this afforded Michelle with a lot of new attention.
Yeah, she's getting popular.
Yeah, she craved it. In October 2012, after having found out that his parents intended to file for divorce, Conrad came to the conclusion that his life was only getting harder for him. He constantly worried and had anxiety, and it was entirely too much for him to handle any longer. Conrad took an entire bottle of over-the-counter medication in an attempt to take his own life.
I did not know that.
The only person that he told was a young girl that he had met while in group therapy, and she did the right thing by immediately contacting police.
Good for her.
When Michelle couldn't get a hold of Conrad that day, she became extremely worried. She knew of Conrad's past with his depression and was afraid that he had in fact done something to himself. Michelle would bring up Conrad's absence to her classmates, who were all more than willing to be there for Michelle when they learned that something serious might have happened. Once again, Michelle would take great satisfaction in this attention.
But, you know, if I can just imagine it, it's not her being like, I can't get a hold of Conrad, I'm really worried that something's happened. It's probably like, he probably killed himself. Like, give me attention, he probably did something to himself.
I don't know what I'm gonna do without him, right? Like, you know, all this stuff.
I feel like it's the most exaggeratory of, you know, of what, even though that was the case, he attempted to do that. I just feel like she wouldn't have been discreet in that, you know?
Right. Soon, she would be contacted by Conrad, who then confessed to her that he did in fact try to take his own life. Michelle was beside herself, as she loved Conrad and couldn't understand why he wouldn't come to her when he needed something, like, in his time of need.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, is, like, center of attention. Why didn't you come to me? It's like,
I helped you from an hour away.
We've met once, you know?
Yeah.
Conrad further explained that his deep depression and the hostile living situation brought on by his father and his mother's inability to get along, or it was, rather. His parents would ultimately separate, Conrad and his sisters spending on and off time with their father, but Conrad especially stayed close with his dad, visiting more often than his sisters. However, the arguing in Conrad Roy Jr.'s home escalated once again with the police being called. This altercation resulted in markings and bruises that were left on Conrad III, the son. These marks and bruises were caused by a physical altercation between Conrad and his father. Not much is known about the details regarding this incident, however, as it has never been released by the state of Massachusetts. All of their domestic violence reports are kept private in order to keep victims safe.
That's awesome.
It's really cool. Because that's usually, like, the most dangerous time to leave a domestic violence situation is when you break it off.
Yeah.
And especially after you file legal stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
But what we do know is that no one was convicted of any crime regarding this incident. Michelle was once again by Conrad's side to hear his story of what transpired, and once again, she was not shy with telling her classmate about his struggles.
Like, it's his fucking private information. Yeah. Like, shut up.
No, but she's like, oh, he's in this terrible situation with his family, and, like, his family hates him, and, you know, all this stuff.
I just wish I could be there.
Making someone else's trauma your trauma.
Yeah, exactly.
That is, like, the worst.
That's gross.
Even so, Michelle encouraged Conrad to continue to get professional help, often telling Conrad that that things would eventually get better. Conrad seemed to make somewhat of a change. He focused on graduating and his schooling and was able to bring his grades back up. He would graduate with a 3.88 GPA.
Wow.
It's like,
that's pretty impressive.
Well, yeah, it's almost perfect.
That's what I have right now to say. Ooh. I had to pepper that in there.
In an early spring 2014, he was able to actually earn his captain's license and was looking forward to working with his father in the family business.
Cool.
So he learned how to, like, be a boat captain.
That's awesome.
It's so cool. His grandfather had gifted him a truck to get around, and he was also even accepted to Fitchburg State University come the fall.
Fitchburg.
Fitchburg. Even with all of these achievements, Conrad still could not get a hold of his depression. He began making video blogs in an effort to voice his feelings, and he used this as a type of therapy because he felt completely unjudged by doing so.
Yeah, I mean, he's trying. Like, he really is. He's reaching out. He's asking for help.
Yeah. In these videos, Conrad says, quote, "For me, social anxiety feels like it's overwhelming my life. The first thing I want to do is be more proactive in a social environment, try to contribute to the conversation as well, as I can just, you know, be more confident in myself." End quote. He goes on to say, quote, "There's people that love me. I have a great mom, great dad for the most part, but I'm so depressed. I feel like I am differently wired from everyone else, like there's something wrong with me. What I am doing is looking at myself so negatively. I look at myself so minuscule, little particle on the face of the earth, no good trash. I will never be successful, never have no life, never have kids, never learn," end quote.
It's like you can tell that he's capable of being introspective.
Yeah.
And he really is recognizing his feelings and he's expressing them. So why the fuck isn't he getting the help that he needs?
Right.
Is he in therapy or is he just on medication?
I think he's still in counseling. He's on medication still. But I just feel like, in my opinion, I feel like no matter the amount of therapy or medication can fix what's going on in the home.
Exactly, yeah.
And I think that the people that really needed to benefit from therapy is his mom and dad.
The whole family.
The whole family.
Family therapy. Also, I feel like he's really good at expressing all of these things on a platform like social media and not out loud in therapy when he's there or in the home, you know?
It's true. And I think that's what it is. It makes sense that he has social anxiety, so he wouldn't always vocalize it to another human being.
Yeah.
He would vocalize it through a video. And maybe that's why it's easy for him and Michelle to communicate is because he's texting.
Yeah.
He's not making phone calls and having to be in person all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
He also says, however, seemingly in opposition, quote, "I have a lot to offer someone. I'm introverted, nice, and caring, with some benefits, and I'm a nice kid," end quote. On July 12th, 2014, Conrad woke up and asked his mother and his sisters if they would like to go to the beach for the day. While walking along the beach with his mother, Conrad told her that he felt conflicted about what his future held. Should he go to college full-time, or should he work in the water full-time with his dad? Lynn reassured her son that there's plenty of time to do both, that he didn't have to make the decision right away. Abruptly, Conrad walked over to the family vehicle in order to use the phone. Lynn did find it odd that he sort of just walked away and stayed in the car for some time, but either way, Conrad would return and ask his mother if he could take the girls out for ice cream. The four went and came back home. Lynn remembers that she was doing the dishes in the kitchen while Conrad and her finished up their previous conversation. Eventually, Conrad went upstairs to his room, but after some time, Lynn heard Conrad come back downstairs. Conrad, rushing past her, quickly shouted goodbye to his mother, but would ultimately leave without hugging or kissing his mom goodbye.
All these details is not a good sign.
Hours later, Conrad Roy would be found in his truck in the store's parking lot. He had placed a generator in his truck and left it running, causing him to die by carbon monoxide poisoning. Later that night, Lynn and Conrad Jr. were informed that Conrad had in fact taken his own life. Conrad's funeral was held just a week later. Michelle would attend Conrad's service, and this would be one of the only times Lynn Roy would see Michelle in person. Lynn would find it very odd that Michelle talked so deeply about Conrad, as Lynn rarely heard Conrad ever talk about Michelle. Michelle would also break the news to her classmates that Conrad had in fact passed away. This, too, yielded a lot of attention from Michelle's classmates.
Of course.
Months would go by, and the Roy family was still very much healing from the tragedy of losing their son, brother, grandchild, and friend, Conrad. Investigators, however, were hard at work uncovering disturbing messages that were found on Conrad's phone, which was with him at the scene. Text messages were exchanged between Michelle and Conrad. Do you want to be Conrad?
Sure.
Okay. Me, Michelle. Quote, "I think your parents know you're in a really bad place. I'm not saying they want you to do it, but I honestly feel like they can accept it. They know there's nothing they can do. They've tried helping. Everyone's tried. But there is a point that comes where there isn't anything anyone can do to save you, not even yourself. And you've hit that point, and I think your parents know you've hit that point. You said your mom saw a suicide thing on your computer and she didn't say anything. I think she knows it's on your mind and she's prepared for it. Everyone will be sad for a while, but they will get over it and move on. They won't be in depression. I won't let that happen. They know how sad you are and they know that you are doing this to be happy, and I think they will understand and accept it. They will always carry you in their hearts. Your turn.
Aw, thank you, Michelle.
They will move on for you because they know that's what you would have wanted. They know you wouldn't want them to be sad and depressed and be angry and guilty. They know that you want them to live their lives and be happy, so they will for you. You're right. You need to stop thinking about this and just do it, because overturning always kills. Overthinking.
Yeah, it does. I've been thinking about it for too long.
Always smile, and yeah, you have to just do it. You have everything you need. There's no way you can fail. Tonight's the night. It's now or never.
This is so infuriating. Every time I hear it, I just get more and more fucking pissed off.
Yeah.
Like, fuck you. Smile. Just remember to smile.
But also kill yourself.
Like, that was really loud noise, sorry. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Fucking, she wanted the attention for him doing that.
Furthermore, Michelle gave Conrad step-by-step instructions on how to kill himself, saying, quote, "Yeah, it will work if you emit 2,300 ppm of it, or 5 to 10 minutes, you will die within half an hour. You lose consciousness with no pain. You just fall asleep and die. You can also just take a hose and run that from the exhaust pipe to the rear window to your car and seal it with duct tape and shirts so it can't escape. You will die within, like, 20 to 30 minutes, all pain-free."
So she's over here fucking Googling shit.
She's telling him how to do it.
That is so fucking gross. Like, how could you think about that, then type it out, and then hit send? Like, I don't understand.
Police began to look into potential criminal charges against Michelle. But was it really illegal to tell someone to commit suicide? No, according to investigators. However, she would still be indicted on counts of involuntary manslaughter. In 2015, Michelle would see a jury in juvenile court that agreed that Michelle would be charged with, quote, wantingly and recklessly, end quote, assisting a suicide. She was just 17 at the time of her arraignment. Michelle would waive her right to a jury and would therefore be sentenced by a judge. During trial, the defense argued that Michelle and Conrad's texts were protected under the First Amendment and that Conrad had a history of attempted suicides, not making her responsible for Conrad's death.
Shut up.
However, the prosecution would reveal more incriminating texts between Michelle and another one of her friends after Conrad's death. Quote, "His death was my fault. Like, honestly, I could have stopped him. I was on the phone with him, and he got out of the car because it was working and he got scared, and I fucking told him to get back in," end quote. And later, quote, "I heard him die on the phone," end quote. Like, it doesn't get more fucking cut and dry than that.
I'm so mad. Oh my god.
Like, she literally said, "It's my fault. Yeah. He got out of the car and I told him to fucking get back in."
Sorry, I'll let you finish and then I'll give you my thoughts.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
It's infuriating because I feel like if Conrad had met a decent woman and decided to start dating a decent person, he wouldn't have ever done that, because he was coaxed by someone that was also mentally ill, and he, like, I've seen a lot of the text messages, a lot of it suggests that he doesn't want to go through with it, and it's her, like, inching him and pressuring him, and, like, he tries to back out so many times, mm-hmm. and she says, "No, like, if you don't do it now, you're never gonna do it," like, all this disgusting shit, when it could have been a young girl that was like, "Why would you think that would be the answer? Like, I'll help you through this, blah, blah, blah." And I think that he would have, like, thrived in that situation.
I think so, too.
It's like, what? That makes me question, like, what had to happen for him to meet this girl on vacation and then it caused his death, you know? Like, that's, ugh.
And that's the thing is, like, when these things go to court, it is, if this person had not met this person, would they be alive?
Exactly.
Yes, she's responsible.
Exactly.
Because had they never met, he would not have, I can't say that, okay? We know that.
Yeah.
Just given our personal experience, we know that. But it certainly wouldn't have happened this way.
Yeah.
There would have been a chance that he could have survived and done, you know, gotten more help. And but the fact that literally he has a voice in his head every day telling him to do it. Every day.
God, that's disgusting.
She made no attempt whatsoever to contact for help for Conrad, even after this, showing that she had no intention of stopping what had occurred.
That's another thing, too. It's like, she said that she heard the moment that he died. How long did she fucking sit on the phone with him after that? Because I'm sure she didn't immediately just fucking hang up.
No.
She probably just sat with the fucking open line for who knows how long.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking gross.
That's fucking disgusting. And I'm sure I would think that that's one of the things that they probably kept in wraps in court.
I'm sure. And I think that it was, in my mind, probably her wanting to make sure that he was actually dead. Instead of just hanging up when she thinks that he dies.
Yeah.
She's probably saying his name, you know, asking him questions, waiting for him to respond.
Yeah.
And when after so long, you know.
She texts him, too, when they get off the phone. She's like, are you still there?
And
nothing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She just wanted to make sure. Even after confessing this to friends, she pushed the idea that Conrad had raped or attempted to rape her at some point, and that's why there was encouragement there.
I gotta go. I'm out of here.
Goodbye. See you later. Love you. Bye. The prosecution said that this was how powerful Michelle's thirst for attention was, that she would talk her own boyfriend into killing himself, all for the sympathy of others. Not only that, but drag his name through the fucking mud.
Seriously.
In June of 2017, Michelle Carter would be found guilty of involuntary manslaughter for her failure to act appropriately in Conrad's death.
Which we know is a homicide, if you listen to the homicide episode.
Still a homicide. Before her sentencing trial, and according to the Sun paper, Michelle's parents pleaded with the court saying, quote, I pray to God you will take into consideration that Michelle was an extremely troubled, vulnerable teenager in an extremely difficult situation and made a tragic mistake. I am 100% sure that she is only trying to do what in her mind was right for Conrad, end quote.
So go ahead and go through those text messages and pull out every single time she said the words do it or don't give up, stop overthinking, all those things that led him to do it. I guarantee you it's in the hundreds.
Yeah.
And then we'll see that she really she's made a mistake,
right? She just made a tragic mistake. She was doing what was right for Conrad.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
By convincing him to do something that he really didn't want to do.
Michelle would be sentenced to 2.5 years, but her sentence would be reduced to just 15 months. Eventually, this conviction was held up by the Supreme Court. So they took it all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court was like, hell no.
Well, it's a very interesting and unique set of circumstances.
Especially because she's 17.
Yeah.
Lynn Roy said about this conviction, quote, I was surprised that she even got 11 months. We had to be the voice for him, so yes, I was satisfied that she was convicted. I wanted to make a point that his life mattered, and that was the most important thing to me. I wish I knew how he felt when she was messaging him that whole month before Conrad died. I wish I knew what he was thinking. Was she really his friend? Did she really care about him? I mean, for someone to do what she did, how could he think that she cared? End quote. Lynn Roy would file a civil suit against Michelle Carter for the wrongful death of Conrad, and the $4.2 million settlement was settled out of court. Michelle Carter participated in several educational programs while in prison. She attended mental health meetings and even created her own blogs about mental health, her struggles, and her journey to get healthy mentally and physically. She was released in January 2020 and has since been out of the public eye. It is a part of an ongoing sentence that she will have zero contact with the Roy family. Like, duh.
Yeah.
Since 2019, Len Roy and her husband have fought to get a law passed in which there would be a mandatory 5-year sentence for anyone who, quote, intentionally coerces or encourages another individual to die by suicide or attempt to die by suicide by using physical acts or mental coercion that manipulates a person's fears, affections, or sympathies, end quote.
I agree.
Although that has been in review for many times, Lynn is still fighting for this new law to be passed. She said, quote, with this tragedy, my son would want to help other people, other families. If we get the law passed, when we do, that's going to be a win for me and for him, end quote. Mm. If passed, this new law would be referred to as Conrad's Law.
Oh. Oh my gosh.
That's a huge. It's heavy for like really, the entire time.
Every time I hear that case, I just get mad. Like, it's just infuriating. I truly do, though. I truly hope Michelle got the help that she needed and she is now better for it. I truly do. Because I would hate for this to happen again when, you know, she got out early and all this stuff. But.
And she also, another comorbidity with whatever she was experiencing was also that ED. She had an eating disorder. There's disorders that were going around and, you know, and that's.
Citalopram.
They said that in, especially under age 24, that it can cause suicidal thoughts.
Yep. Yeah, no, I think that there's a lot of factors that went into that, and it's hard, because, you know, like I said, like, I get mad, you know, it's really easy to, like, be like, fuck it, you know, fuck this, or whatever, mm-hmm. but, yeah, you're right, like, she was just a kid, she was on medication that's known to cause, you know, mental manipulation and mental, you know, emotional, you know, distress.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's a very hard case.
That being said, if you or someone you know is struggling with depression or suicidal thoughts, remember that you are not alone. You can always reach out to the National Suicide Lifeline at 988 for information and resources in your local area. And of course, if you or someone you know is experiencing an emergency, always dial 911, 999, or your local emergency service number.
Absolutely.
Okay. Heavy, heavy, heavy.
That was heavy, but I don't want to say I'm glad you covered it, but...
It needed to be covered. Yeah. I find it very interesting that it's not just about Michelle Carter and her difficulties with mental disorders, but Conrad Roy's too.
Absolutely.
And, you know, definitely, especially when you're in that, I can see how he might have been like, someone knows my struggle. Someone understands me to my depth with this struggle, because he felt like he could actually talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, he's behind a phone screen. But unfortunately, he confided in the wrong person.
I think so too.
You know?
Oh, it's so sad.
Yeah.
I know. Do you have anything else?
That's it.
Okay, I think we're going to end here.
I know, I need a shower.
We will see you guys next week with another mental breakdown, and be on the lookout this Saturday for a special DAK live.
See you tomorrow for the live. Friday for the live. Merch drop live.
Oh, the merch drop live. Yes. Merch drop live on Friday, and then DAK live episode on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Will you do me a favor?
Sure.
For this episode, will you put a picture of her really ridiculous eyebrows?
I will.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Love you.
Bye. Bright Cellars is a monthly wine club that matches you to delicious wines tailored completely to your tastes. Take their personalized 7-question quiz and be paired with wines you are sure to love. You can even improve your matches by rating each wine after you try them. Bright Cellars offers a unique tasting experience, as each bottle comes with tasting notes and pairing suggestions. It's like having your very own sommelier at home. And their expert wine concierge will customize your subscription to fit any lifestyle. Click the link in the show notes for an exclusive offer from Bright Cellars today.